Eric Zorn joins us, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the sometimes Daily Herald columnist, and the longtime Chicago Tribune columnist, where he publishes online now, commentary, comedy, and more. You can search for the Picayune Sentinel online or just email Eric Zorn at gmail.com, and he'll add you to their free mailing list. You can also subscribe. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for that plug. That was wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's what you wrote, so I hope you're satisfied. By the way,
yeah, a little more feeling next time. Yeah, go ahead.
Really? Do you know anything more about Liz Cheney in Wyoming? Does she have any better chance than I just made it sound?
I don't think so. I think that the party has just gone so far to the right, and I consider it to be a minor apostasy. She has challenged President Trump on one thing. It's a big thing. But she's challenged him on it, and I don't think she's going to be reelected. I'm sorry about Adam Kinzinger. He is also on the January 6th commission, and he just decided he's, of course, an Illinois congressman, and he is someone who is sort of a never Trumper. And he decided there was just no chance that he was going to win, and he didn't even run. I kind of think that a candidate like Adam Kinzinger could probably do very well in a statewide general election in Illinois. He would not get through the Republican primary, unfortunately, but I think that someone who has shown the backbone that he has, mm-hmm. and otherwise, you know, he has conservative credentials.
Oh, for sure. You know, I feel a little bit about him the way I do Ershman and Jacob and Pickham, a Barr, all of these people that are testifying before the January 6th committee and showing great candor. I don't know how much courage, but they're telling the truth from inside the circle that the president didn't win the election. And it's coming out now a couple of years later at these hearings. And I'm like, while Barr resigned on December 23rd, where was he on December 22nd? You guys, you should have been standing on soapboxes saying, we told the president we lost. But I don't remember there being this chorus of candid voices back then. Sure, they're doing it now, but where were they when we needed them before this ball got rolling?
That's a great point. And even some of those who finally stood up on January 6th, right at the end of the day when Lindsey Graham said, I'm out, and then Leader McCarthy said, you know, distance himself from Trump. They all came crawling back to grab the hem of his garment to seek forgiveness and be let back into the MAGA organization. So I think what we're seeing in the Illinois gubernatorial primary right now on the Republican side is that the one candidate who is keeping his distance from Trump is Richard Ervin. Is not doing very well in the most recent polls. And, you know, the election is in 8 days, and the most recent polls that we've seen show him trailing Darren Bailey, downstate farmer and a hard conservative Trump supporter, by double digits. And I think, you know, certainly one reason is that he's not Trumpy enough for the Republican vote.
But Irvin's also a uniquely bad candidate.
Yes, I think we've seen that too, and that's why I brought up Adam Kinzinger in a way. I feel like that Kinzinger does not have the sort of problems that Ervin has in terms of his actual, you know, Republican bona fides and so on. That Kinzinger, with the exception of his opposition to Trump, is exactly what Republican voters are looking for: a military veteran, a good-looking guy, and votes very conservatively along the line, which is what Republican voters want. But he just can't take Donald Trump, and that's just a bridge too far for so many voters. So,
and, you know, I don't know Richard Ervin that well. In fact, I don't know him at all. I know people that know him and like him, and look, he was an elected mayor of, as we all know, I know, the second largest city in Illinois. So props to you, Richard Ervin. Maybe the point is, because I always say these critical things about him, like he's a uniquely bad candidate, maybe he's a terrific mayor, maybe he's a terrific guy. But the lane he's picked is, I want to win the Republican primary for governor in Illinois, and he is not suited for that primary election. I mean, that's my central point when I say that.
He's not suited for this primary election, because we have had, of course, moderate Republican governors in this state. We've had a bunch of them. We had Jim.
That's what we are.
We had Jim Thompson, right, and even Bruce Rauner. He was not particularly effective, but he ran as a socially moderate, fiscally conservative Republican in, was it 2014 is when he won, I guess. And so you have a tradition in this state of you know, the Judy Bartopinka Republicans. And I think Irvin could have fit into that mold. And he might have been a much better candidate if he wasn't trying to sort of be all things to all people. And so that's, I think, what happened with Irvin, is that he was seen as phony in a way that a guy like Jim Edgar wasn't. And Jim Edgar's been sounding the alarm in Rick Pearson's story in the Tribune, talking about how this primary election is going to show the direction of the Republican Party in Illinois. And it seems to be headed off into the right ditch in terms of its electoral prospects. And, you know, the thinking is that Darren Bailey is not going to do well in a general election against J.B. Pritzker.
Yeah, so, you want to put $1 million on that? I know one columnist who thought that Donald Trump wasn't going to win the primary or the general election, and how'd that work out for you?
Whatever happened to that guy?
He lost his job. Okay, let's do this. I want to talk to you about that yearbook story at Jones Prep. Do you have a minute, Eric?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that.
We'll pick it up here in a minute. Eric Zorn is the publisher now of the Picayune Sentinel, who decided to retire from the Chicago Tribune. It's 11:42 on WGN. You can subscribe to his newsletter. This is a story that we saw last week as well. We didn't talk much about it, but what one of the kids put in the yearbook at Jones Prep has caused great consternation at the school and caused the yearbook staff, the school, to issue an apology. I wonder if Eric thinks that was necessary. In a minute, Picayune Sentinel publisher and former Tribune columnist Eric Zorn, on a Monday afternoon, talking a little bit about the Jones Prep story. Eric, why don't you start us off? What happened with their yearbook?
Well, every year they allow graduating seniors to have a senior quote in the yearbook. It's a tradition that goes back as far as yearbooks go back. They have them, and one of the seniors had a quote in his yearbook that said, "Build the wall! ! Yes, we can! ! And then a little dash, Bob the Builder." And this quote made it past the review group that's supposed to make sure that people are using seemly quotes and so on. And it got out there and spread online. And this caused a great fuss at the school because people felt that it was anti-immigrant. One of the people on the board said, the school board said, "It's hateful and unwelcoming. It denies our struggles and existence. Bob the Builder is an immigrant stereotype about day laborers. Put it in context, it becomes clear." And so they went and they took all the undistributed copies of the yearbook and they used a Sharpie to Sharpie out the student's quote. And I have some thoughts on that. The first one is that saying "build the wall" is certainly taking a position on the immigration issue. It suggests a position on the immigration issue. But it is not a fringe position. I looked at all the polling that I could on this. Now, that generally is about 40% support for this is, of course, it was the slogan of Donald Trump's presidential campaign in 2016. And there was about 40% support in general. Quinnipiac took a poll last October, and they found 45% of Americans support building a wall on the Mexican border, reinforcing a wall on the Mexican border to keep out undocumented immigrants from coming over the border. So it's an expression that stakes out a position on a political issue, but again, I don't think to say that it is hateful or is beyond the pale. It just goes too far. I don't agree with that. I'm not in that percentage of people who think we should invest that money that way, but because I don't agree with it doesn't mean I don't think that it should be allowed to be uttered. If they had a strong policy that we don't allow a politically themed senior quotes, then they should have caught it. They should have screened it. But once it got out and was in the yearbook, I think to take a Sharpie to something really is a very heavy-handed, suggests has a really sort of ugly censorship connotation to it. Bob the Builder, the quote says, "Build the wall, yes we can, Bob the Builder." And there was a suggestion from the members of the school board the local school council, what I mean, is that Bob the Builder is an offensive stereotype, and that "yes we can" is appropriating, you know, "si se puede," the battle cry of some immigrant laborers. In fact, of course, Bob the Builder is not a stereotype of a day laborer. Bob the Builder is a kid's cartoon character who is a general contractor. I don't know if you did you ever watch Bob the Builder? Your boys are a little too old for Bob.
That's how I know it, as just something my kids might have watched.
Right. It's a British show, and Bob the Builder is a general contractor, and he was designed in some ways to break down stereotypes of construction workers. Another stereotype-breaking element of Bob the Builder was that his partner's business partner was a woman, Wendy. And they were, she would solve a lot of the problems that Bob the Builder would come in. And Bob the Builder's slogan was, can we fix it? Yes, we can. So his slogan was, yes, we can. So this senior, this unnamed senior, has taken Build the Wall, Bob the Builder, Yes We Can, put those together. I don't see that. First of all, I don't see a stereotype in there. I definitely see an anti-immigrant anti-immigrant is too strong. I think one can be in favor of increased border security without being opposed to.
What's the ethnic population of Jones Prep?
Oh, what was it?
29%. 29% Latinx. 29%.
By the way,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, I wrote about Latinx recently, and it turns out that Latinx is not really a favored term in the Hispanic community.
I'm so bad at, or I lack confidence in Mexican, Hispanic, Mexican-American, Latinx, Latino. I'm not sure what the vocabulary is that best reflects the population or the vernacular today.
Right. Well, I think the answer is that right now, Latinx is still a fairly marginal term. It's not one that's favored by. They have polled the Hispanic community, and they find that they have not yet embraced it. It's not pronounced easily. There's also Latine over the A, E at the end, which is another. I mean, the idea, of course, is to get rid of the gender in it. But Spanish is a heavily gendered language, unlike ours. So that a lot of things in it have gender. So that's what these endings are all about. They're trying to fix that, but this is not going over well. Anyway, we're wandering.
Well, I want to read a quote, and this is in your column, Eric, or in your newsletter. This is from the school when they discovered that one of the students had Build the Wall, Yes We Can, Bob the Builder, as his quote. The school said there were senior quotes submitted, and there was a quote that was inappropriate and was harmful to some people. There was a system in place that involved peer review of the quotes. We will be reviewing this process moving forward to avoid something like this happening again. We apologize to the school community for this oversight. At some point, I think if the apology is more emphatic than the original quote, you're almost doing more harm than good here. I'm with you. I don't think that while that is a politically charged position, I don't see it as hurtful or harmful as some quotes could be. It does remind me a little bit of the sort of situation I think the Naperville School District, or maybe any school district, will have in the fall. We interviewed one of the associate superintendents there, and she said that, they're going to unify the dress code, including head coverings, which they will allow in the fall at all Naperville schools. And I said, so what are you going to do when somebody wears a ball cap to school and it says BLM on it, or it says MAGA on it, or it says Let's Go Brandon on it? And she couldn't put her finger on what she was going to do. I think it's, to me, the simplest solution, Eric, I'll take your response now, would be that you can have a hat, but it can't have anything on it. There can be no words on it, because otherwise somebody somewhere is going to take offense.
Well, that's the problem. When you put school administrators in the position of having to say yes to BLM but no to MAGA, you're asking to stake out a political position. And I can see why in a high school, especially a diverse high school, that you would want that BLM is much more acceptable to the student body than a MAGA hat or a Let's Go Brandon hat. But once you start allowing political speech in these matters, and if you allow political speech in the quotes, if you allow students, seniors at Jones Prep to make political statements or heavily social messages in them, you can't really say, well, only popular positions.
Right, because hope and change. Hope and change is a hat that I think a lot of us could embrace. But wait, that's Barack. That was what Barack Obama was all about. And maybe I think that the world is worse because Barack Obama's president. So maybe I should, you know, if you're going to be fair to everybody, if that's a sincere belief, then maybe you got to tell the kid to take that hat off too.
It does, and you know, and I'm always hesitant to invoke the First Amendment because generally people say, oh, you know, Twitter is violating my First Amendment rights. No, Twitter is a private company. But a public school, censoring a yearbook, I think, does invoke the First Amendment. It does implicate the First Amendment because this is a public school, and the yearbook is an official publication of the school. And for them to say, you can't say this, you can't make this political statement, but we will allow others. And I haven't seen the yearbook itself, so I don't know if other students have been allowed to say things that have those political connotations. But maybe the solution is don't have senior quotes.
Yeah, I know.
Because otherwise you're going to get into a mess. And I'm not sure there's a huge value in senior quotes. And you spend all your time editing them and going round and round with students and just have their activities and their nice little photos and let them sign their yearbooks the way they want to. And they can do that privately. That would be my solution.
I wonder if they still say stay cool and never change in there.
Never change. Right. I've got bad news for those who said stay cool.
A text is poured in. Both my kids attended Jones and had a fabulous experience. Not everyone's high school experience is roses and unicorns. I'm so tired of everyone being offended by everything all the time. I do suppose you could reasonably be an arbiter. Say we are going to allow quotes, and I'm not going to let you have a Nazi hat, but I am going to let you have Black Lives Matter and probably MAGA. I mean, you know, those were legitimate political campaigns and thoughts. So somebody might be offended, but I think maybe if we all just put on our big boy pants, we can allow some of this. I mean,
I agree with that. I think there are certain views that we can agree are beyond the pale, and there are certain views that are really mainstream. And
right.
I often look to polling results, and I'm thinking, like, is "build the wall" really seen as an offensive term?
Yeah.
And you know, like I say, in polls, it's 40-45% of the public thinks "build the wall" is a good idea. I'm not part of that public, but I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of a school saying you can't express that, whereas we would allow someone to write about. You know, let's open the borders or something like that. You know,
right.
Whatever the
time's up. I always do that to you, Eric. You're always in the middle of another great thought, and then I have to cut you off.
Well, it's like one of those teasers. Next week's a cliffhanger. We'll talk about it next week.
And on the Mincing Rascals podcast, which drops on Wednesdays. All right, good to hear your voice, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you then. Bye.